They passed through the door at the other end of the corridor and into another room similar to the first, except in this chamber the paintings depicted scenes of conquest from Genghis Khan's long military career. One particularly brutal painting showed the city of Nishapur just after its people had revolted against Mongol rule and killed the husband of the Khan's daughter. The daughter asked that everyone within the city limits be killed, and the Khan acquiesced to her wishes.
Nice guy.
They noticed there was a door at the far end of this gallery, just like the one before, and beyond, another short tunnel with a third door at the far end. Having been fooled once, they didn't take any chances this time. Mason used the stock of his weapon to test the way ahead, banging it against the stone hard enough to be certain it was going to hold their weight before they stepped forward and tested the next area. In that fashion, they crossed the entire length of the passageway and finally stood in front of the door. The light from their torches fell on a bas-relief carving above the lintel, displaying the face of a Mongolian warrior. His eyes seemed to gaze down at them in judgment. So strong was the illusion that Anya half expected it to open its mouth and ask what they wanted. Beneath the figure was a set of Mongolian letters carved on an ivory disc about 2 feet in diameter, the white of the ivory contrasting sharply with the dark stone in which it was set.
What do you think that's for?
Anya shook her head. She eyed it suspiciously and then turned and looked at the empty corridor behind them. An uneasy feeling was building in her stomach. After the collapsing tunnel trap, this passage had been too easy. She'd missed something. She turned back to see Mason reaching for the door, intending to push it open.
No, wait!
Mason's hand pushed against the door, but it didn't open as expected. Instead, it sank several inches into its frame and then stopped.
What the hell?
The bottom edges of the left and right-hand walls fell backward, revealing a long, narrow opening. Water began to pour out of those openings, and in less than a minute, both Anya and Mason were standing ankle-deep in freezing cold water as more flooded into the room by the second.
The other door!
They rushed for the entrance. A stone slab slid down from the ceiling and blocked the door. Mason threw himself at the barrier. The water was still rising, up to mid-calf now. Jones looked back at her.
Now what?
Anya spun around, taking in everything in the corridor, looking for the solution, the way out. Her gaze fell on the carving of the Khan and the ivory wheel beneath it. Her rudimentary knowledge of the Uyghur script told her that the arrangement of letters on the wheel translated into gibberish.
Why put a series of letters there if they didn't actually spell anything? Come on!
She took off back down the length of the corridor without waiting to see if Mason was following. Reaching the door at the other end, she discovered that despite her height, she could not reach the ivory wheel. Mason had already figured out her quandary, however, and bent over so that she could climb up on his back. From there, he leaned against the door, using it for support, while she clambered all the way up until she was standing on his shoulders and found herself directly opposite the disc. This close, she could see that there was a small arrow just below the image of the Khan, pointing down at the disc.
I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, you'd better hurry.
In that short time since the flooding had started, the water had already risen over Mason's knees. Working quickly, Anya spun the disc like a combination lock, lining up each letter in the name Temujin with the arrow below the carving. She looked down, noting that the water was now up to the middle of Mason's chest.
Try the door.
With his hands already against it to help in holding Anya up, all Mason had to do was push.
Try it again.
Nothing.
What did I miss? Try the right password?
Anya tried the Khan's given name twice more, moving the disc only clockwise the first time, and then when that failed, trying the same thing in the other direction. It still didn't work.
Anya?
She looked down and saw that the water was almost up to Mason's chin. He looked up at her, a strange calmness in his gaze.
Better hurry.
She turned back to the disc. She needed a different password. That had to be it. But she had no idea what.
What would have been important to the ruler of the known world? No power, territory, his title?
There were too many options, too many choices, and not enough time. She realized that the water had just risen over Mason's face. She had less than a minute or two. With one last desperate attempt, she tried again. The door in front of them burst open, carrying them forward in the rush of the current. Anya went under in the sudden flood and was swept away from Mason. She felt herself slam into a few objects and got tangled up in them. Couldn't tell what they were, and she was carried several yards into the room by the receding waters. In moments, it was over. Wet, tired, and very thankful that she remembered the name of Temujin's first and favored wife, Borte, she came to rest on the stone floor.